years into the economic recovery, some homeowners are still struggling to hang on to their homes. The headlines tell of strong home sales in many major metropolitan areas, even in cities where sales prices have been shooting skyward. But there's another part of the housing story, the places and homeowners who have yet to recover, even as prices have remained low. Economics correspondent Paul Solman has that report, part of our weekly series, Making Sense, which airs every Thursday on the NewsHour.
Go. You all right?
Cheryl and Dante Ortiz are living proof that the housing crisis is still with us. When they bought their Southbridge, Massachusetts home in 2004 for their large family, half of the kids adopted, they thought they'd found their slice of the American pie.
I got you.
But 6 years later, it looked like they would lose it. Dante ruptured a disc in his back at work and became disabled. Cheryl's grad school student loans came due. They fell behind on the house payments. But since the value of their house had plummeted and in their neighborhood had never recovered, even refinancing wasn't an option.
The mortgage company had no compassion. They wanted to do nothing to help us, nothing. And I finally said to them, I don't know what you want me to do. I'm explaining to you my situation. You don't care. And they said, well, it's your problem. Put the house up for sale.
Which they did in what's known as a short sale, where the seller's asking price doesn't cover what's owed to the bank.
Now, what had you paid for it initially?
Initially, $250,000.
And what were you short selling it at?
They brought it down to as low as $149,000, and not one person came to look at it, no offers, nothing.
After 6 months, they pulled the house off the market.
So you mean there's been no housing rebound at all around here?
No, not here.
But the news is that nationally, housing prices are on the way back up.
Well, maybe somebody should show me where that is, because it hasn't happened here.
Elise Cherry, who runs Boston Community Capital, a nonprofit lender that specializes in helping underwater homeowners, says this story is still a commonplace.
This is the story of a crisis that won't quit. And it won't quit because we're not focused on the difference in how it impacts our lower income neighbors as opposed to our middle and upper middle income neighbors. In low income areas, the foreclosure crisis continues unabated.
Really? Unabated?
Unabated.
According to the real estate research firm Zillow, more than 7 million borrowers remained underwater in June of 2015, over half of them by more than 20%, with homes in low-end neighborhoods more than three times as likely to be underwater. And this tale of two markets is playing out across the greater Boston area. David Greenwich, a research data management specialist, paid $250,000 in 2006 for his house in the modest but well-tended town of Fitchburg, Massachusetts, then found it had soon lost about $100,000 in value. After being between jobs for several months, he too fell behind, tried to refinance, and got the runaround we've been reporting for years now.
They said, let's try to do a modification. Okay, fine. I sent them a paperwork, like 60-some-odd pages, all our information. About a month later, please send us all the information to do the modification. Okay, I sent it to them again and said, I just sent you this a month ago.
Okay, maybe the banks were overwhelmed by the volume of business. But like Greenwich, Cheryl Ortiz wondered, why wouldn't the banks make a deal with homeowners at something like market rates?
What do you think is going to happen to my house if you take it? What is that going to help you as the bank? You're going to lose more. But no, I'm out, got to go. You're out of the house, and we're going to give it to somebody else much cheaper.
Nick Retsinas, who teaches real estate at Harvard Business School, says the banks don't necessarily want to work things out.
Because the banks necessarily aren't holding these mortgages. They're often bundleizing them and securitizing them and selling them to investors. Investors are very nervous about losing any of their principal. They feel that's inviolate. As a result, they haven't done principal reduction. As a result, these low values, particularly among low-end homes, continue to stilt the marketplace.
So the bank is simply afraid of setting a precedent?
Yeah. The banks think this will be contagious, and then they'll lose their investor base, who is very concerned about ever losing their principal.
So are you sympathetic to the lenders for not giving the homeowner the same deal that is actually the price on the open market?
No, I think the lenders have been short-sighted. And because they have been short-sighted, for the most part, this housing crisis has dragged on, and it explains why the recovery is so slow and so laborious.
This is where Elise Cherry and Boston Community Capital come in. For the past 6 years, the organization's Stabilizing Urban Neighborhoods program has refinanced some $85 million in home loans for people in default and foreclosure.
And what you do is you buy the home at the current market price, which
yes.
is lower than mm-hmm. the original one,
mm-hmm.
and then sell it back to the owner.
That's correct.
And that works.
Yes, we provide a new 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. We have some bells and whistles attached to this to be sure that we really get good homeowners.
Boston Community Capital charges those homeowners a higher interest rate than the banks and shares in any appreciation of the home for as long as the loan stays in force. As a result, says Cherry,
we encourage people to clean up their credit as quickly as possible so that they can, in fact, go out and get perhaps a cheaper mortgage, take our mortgage out, and cut off any shared appreciation as early as they can.
Something the Ortizes are already making plans to do.
Now I'm in a position to say, okay, now I can start looking for, you know, to refinance, and I'm not going to have somebody to say, oh, you can't do that because you're so far underwater, nobody's going to touch you.
One of the bells and whistles that comes with a community capital mortgage is a biweekly payment regimen, requiring borrowers to make 26 half payments a year, two more than needed to cover their annual obligation.
The extra two goes into a fund.
Exactly.
As a cushion.
Exactly.
Have you had to use the cushion?
No, but we may need to because our furnace is very old. When the repairman came, he noticed that we have some pipe issues. The plumber said, don't touch it, so your finger might literally go through. I'm going to submit the estimate to fix that with Boston Community Capital.
So is a program like this the answer for the large part of the housing market that's still reeling? Elise Cherry herself says no. For one thing, not everyone qualifies.
You really have to have enough current income to support even a current priced mortgage.
And Nick Ritsinas sees another limitation.
They don't really have the capacity to do this in large numbers sort of over time. They're doing it in selected markets. They're still running into hurdles. They still need the cooperation of banks. So yes, it's a great idea. It makes a lot of sense. Whether it can get to a scale to make a difference, I'm not so sure.
But for Cheryl Ortiz, at least, it's given her family room to breathe.
We have a good place to live. My kids have their friends. And, you know, we hope that little by little things turn around. But at least I can say I'm not afraid for tomorrow because, you know, we can make, right now we're making it. We're doing well.
For the moment. And in the tale of two markets, that's more than millions of still underwater homeowners can say. From parts of the Boston area that still haven't recovered from the housing crisis, this is economics correspondent Paul Salmon, reporting for the PBS NewsHour.